Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Ephesians 5. And if you've been with us, you know for the last 9 weeks, we've been in a series titled In the Light. Well, this morning, we are actually wrapping up that portion of the series. We're not finishing Ephesians 5, but we're wrapping up the series titled In the Light. Next week, we get into the exciting stuff, you know, on wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives, that good stuff. So all of you need to make sure you're here, especially if you're married next week. But my wife will tell you how well I do those things. Yeah. So anyways, but this morning we're wrapping up our In the Light series, and Paul concludes this section with some final thoughts on living in the light. And so we're going to take a look at this morning. We're going to take a look at these scriptures and allow God to speak to us. And I'm so glad I put my scriptures into my notes, because I just realized I didn't bring my Bible. I usually like to read it out of my Bible, but this morning I'll read it out of my notes. So if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20 is what we'll read this morning. And this is what Paul tells us. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Excuse me. Last week we talked about the things that light exposes. As we're in the light, we talked about some of those things that the light exposes. And you see, Paul knows that there's a lot of dark things out there that we need to be aware of. We live in a dark world. They lived in a dark time. And so Paul is concluding this section here by saying, we need to be careful. As followers of Jesus, we need to be careful. We need to use wisdom. And Paul isn't just talking about head knowledge here. Though that's good, and there's some wisdom that comes from the head knowledge, he's talking, I think, here more about a moral discernment, right? Understanding the difference between right and wrong, understanding what's of the Lord and what is of the world, because the world will often try to draw you into the things of it. Oh, this is good. It's okay, right? We remember the enemy. Oh, no, this apple, it's okay. You can eat of it, right? Tries to draw you. So we need to be careful. We need to have that discernment, understand what is of the Lord and what is of the world. He says here that the days are evil. And I want to point out one thing this morning. You know, a lot of us, as we look at our nation, I think we can agree that our nation has changed a lot over the last 100 years, right? Of who we are and what we represent as a nation. A nation that was once known as a Christian nation is quickly losing that claim, right? If we haven't already lost it. And the truth is, even with that, because when you look at statistics, they still say, you know, that we're still on the upper end of a Christian nation. But if you really look at that, the question is many people that claim to be Christian, are they really living the Christian lifestyle? Are they really living according to His Word, according to what God's called them to live? Or are they just, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God? There's a big difference in that. And so there's a lot of change happening in our nation. There's a lot of darkness. And just like Paul said in his times that they were living in days of evil, the reality is that we live in days of evil. But I want to say this. I want to point this out, because I think sometimes we can get so caught up and so worried about how horrible things are becoming and this fear begins to set in. But I want to say this. God is still God. Okay? God is still God. And just like in the days of Paul, when he's talking here, he's still on the throne. Okay? He is as alive today. We celebrated a few weeks ago the resurrection. He's as alive as alive. That's hard to say quickly. He is as alive today as he was back in the times of Paul. He's seen it throughout history, this evil that rises up. He's not surprised by the evil. I mean, we see it time and time again. We see it, you know, take a look at the Israelites. I mean, honestly, you look at the Israelites and you see them become, you know, God saves them and brings them. And then what happens? We see this decline and the morality of them and how the evil enters in. And then what does God do? He saves them again. And so this evil doesn't surprise God. He's seen it throughout the history of mankind. But that's why he continues to shine his light on us. That's why he continues to shine his light in those dark areas so that we can be light, so that we can be a light in a dark world. He then says here in verse 16 that because these days are evil, we need to make the most of every opportunity. You see, one of the reasons that I believe the early church was so effective and that it grew so quickly was because it shared the gospel with a sense of urgency. There was a sense of urgency that they shared the word of God with. They knew one thing, that Jesus said he was coming back. Okay, go to share the gospel because I'm coming back, right? And so they lived every day as if it might have been their last. They didn't say, well, I'll just wait until tomorrow to worry about that, right? No, they lived every day as if it would be their last because they didn't know if tomorrow would come. Now, I don't know how many of you grew up in the church in the 70s and into the 80s, but if you grew up in church in the 70s and 80s, there was kind of this, there were a lot of movies and things about end times and this fear of the rapture coming and all this stuff happening. I don't know if you remember that. If you grew up in the 70s or 80s, you know, there was a lot of fear-based stuff, which I'm not a big fan of the fear-based stuff. I do believe, you know, we need to come to know Jesus because times are near, but I'm not really into the big fear-based. But there was a lot of this thing of the time is near. And many people actually, you know, wondered, well, will I die or will Jesus come back before I die? And I remember a lot of people, I think even my grandparents were some, who are now with the Lord, and so obviously he didn't come back before they went to be with him. And but there was that question of, you know, how soon is it? And I think today we've kind of got in this, oh yeah, who knows when. And we've gotten that laxatism, we've lost that sense of urgency. You see, nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. Nobody. We can predict and people can think and have their ideas, but nobody knows. It could be after lunch today. It could be in a week. It could be in a year. It could be in 100 years. It could be, for all we know, in 1,000 years. The disciples thought it was going to be soon, and 2,000 years later, he's still, you know, for soon for Jesus. I mean, a blink of his eyes, you know, like 1,000 of ours. And so nobody knows when it will be, but there's something about knowing that it could be any time. There's something about living with a sense of urgency. There's something about making the most of every opportunity we have. Because even though Jesus might not come back for, you know, however many years, we still don't know if we'll wake up tomorrow. We don't know what our life entails. And there's something about living with that urgency and making the most of every opportunity. And that's what Paul is encouraging here. God has called us to go into the world and to share the gospel, to see his kingdom extended. And I believe Paul's saying, make the most of every opportunity. Do it to the best of your ability. Do the best that you can do at following this command of the Lord. Now in the next scriptures here, it gets kind of interesting in verses 17 and 18 as Paul kind of then begins to switch gears, walking through 17 into 18. In verse 17 it says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And I think again that just kind of goes with that knowledge and that wisdom. But then he enters into verse 18 and he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And as I entered this section this week, man, I pulled out all my commentaries. I pulled out all the things and on the internet, the opinions that I could find from pastors and theologians. And as I studied these scriptures, many of them had different views and different thoughts on why Paul put those words, "Don't get drunk on wine." There were many different ideas and thoughts, and they're all great ideas. You know, for instance, you know, some thought, well, maybe the Ephesians had a problem with drinking, and so as he's wrapping up this section on living the light, he thought, well, I'll center on one of their problems, that this was something that they struggle with. Because we know, if you look at the Corinthians in Corinth, they did. They struggled with drinking the wine and getting drunk. So perhaps that's why Paul threw this in. Some thought maybe he was just generalizing this as something that wasn't very wise, as he talked about wisdom, because it's not very wise because it affects your ability to think rationally. So maybe that's why he put this section in here. Or perhaps he wanted to point out the contrast between control from the person that is full of wine versus control for the person that is full of the Spirit. There's many different, you know, and all these are great thoughts. And any one of them could be true, and maybe even wrapped up in one. Paul, you know, all of these make sense and are true. But when I get in a situation like this, and I'm really trying to study the Scripture, and I'm reading, I'm getting all these thoughts, one of the things I have to just do is say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to speak this week? What are you speaking to us? Because we could take the Scripture, we can go all different directions. Lord, what is it that you want to say to us, to this church, that you want to speak to us this week? And as I just kind of prayed and as I just thought about these scriptures, the Lord began to put these things on my heart. You see, I believe that we all have a void in our hearts. We all have a void in our hearts that can only be filled by God, that can only be filled by the Holy Spirit. And the problem is a lot of us try to fill that void with other things. As we go through this thing called life, you know, the journey of life and the difficulties and the struggles and the challenges, many of us, we grasp for something to help us cope. We grasp for those things that will help fill that void and help us through those challenges and those difficult times. And for some, those things that they end up filling that void with could end up being things like alcohol. You know, back in these times, that was something that they had, right? They had wine, and it was available to them. And so it was something that they would maybe use to fill that void in their life, to escape the troubles. Now, unfortunately for us today, we have a lot of different things that we can use to escape our troubles and our difficulties. Today, we may use alcohol, as that is still one of the things that's used. We may use drugs, you know. We may use pills, or, you know, which are drugs, but, you know, the painkillers and things and different things that help us cope. For some people, it's relationships, right? And it's often bad relationships we get into as we're trying to cope with situations. And for some, it can even be food and different things. There's all sorts of things that we use and try to fill that void with to help cope through life. But the thing is that when we come back to reality, after whatever it is we've tried to use to cope with, when we come back to reality, the fact is nothing has changed. We're still where we're at. We're still in that struggle. We're still in that difficult time. And so these things can't fill that void. Those things can't change life for us in the way that God intended our lives to be changed. And so Paul here tells us what we need to do. He says, don't be filled with wine or anything else. Whatever it is that you seek to fill that void in your life, don't be filled with those things, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, okay, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? I think we can use the wine that Paul talked about as a great analogy here. When we are drunk on wine, what has control of our life? It's the alcohol, it's the wine, right? When we are drunk on wine, the alcohol or the wine has control of our lives. The things that we do aren't the normal things that we do, right? We act ways we don't normally act because the alcohol is in control. It's affecting our thoughts and it's affecting our actions. So when we are full of wine, the wine is in control. And this is a bad thing because if you really think about it, that means what? That means we're out of control. That's right, we're out of control. But then we have to ask the question, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what controls us? If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what controls us? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then has control of our lives. It's giving control to God, to the Holy Spirit of our lives. And we begin to do things that we don't normally do, right? We begin to act ways we don't normally act because the Holy Spirit is now affecting our thoughts and our actions. So when we're full of the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives. And when we're filled with Him, He is given control. And now this is a good thing, because filled with other things, we're out of control. Filled with the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit is in control and we're in control. And the great thing is that the Holy Spirit gets its direction from who? From God. And it gives us ultimate control of our lives. And so being filled with the Holy Spirit really means giving God full control of our life. Not just a little bit, but fully allowing Him to come and inhabit and be in control of our lives. So the question then is, well, okay, yeah, that sounds great. How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? And this is the funny thing, because you go to different churches and you can hear a wide variety of answers. And it can be this huge list of things you've got to do to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But really, there's one thing you have to do. It's ask. You have to ask. You ask Him to come and to fill you up. You give Him access to your life. Lord, come, fill me up. And here's what I believe. I believe we have to continually ask the Lord to fill us up, because He'll fill us up, and then we're excited and we go out and God does many things, and then what happens? We kind of hit rock bottom, you know, and it's like, yesterday I felt so good and today I'm just kind of drained. Why? Well, because we need Him to fill us up again. I believe it's a continual thing that we need to do. And for me, it's a daily thing. It's how I start my day most of the time when I'm doing the right things. And for me, most often, it's in the shower, my eyes half open and I got the water on trying to wake up and I'm just like, Lord, I just give you this day. Fill me today. Help me to be who you've called me to be. Help me to look and have my eyes open to be used by you, to see those opportunities that you put before me. Fill me with more of you and less of me. It's even why I pray up here on Sundays. Help me decrease so that you might increase, that I'm filled with your Spirit, not with the things of me, because the things of Darren are, like I talked about, it's that darkness and those evil things of the world. But when I'm filled with the things of Him, then I walk in His light and I'm living in His light. And when someone's full of the Spirit, you see it in their lives. You see the fruit. See, Paul goes on here to talk about some of the evidence. As he talks about being filled with the Spirit, he then enters into some of the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. He says in verse 19, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Now, does this mean we're walking around singing to each other? No. Now, I did do camp a few years ago. It was when High School Musical, that's what it was, right? High School Musical came out. I did a camp, Middle School Camp Musical. And the funny thing was we said that everything we did, we had to break into song, okay? And we would sing, you know, as we were up on stage doing stuff, and the games, they would break into song singing. It was supposed to be like a musical. Now, that's not what it's talking about here. That's not that we just break into song singing to each other all the time. But any of you ever got really excited about something? Have you ever been like excited? You know, whether it's maybe you won something, you know, and it's like, yeah, or maybe a team you root for won something, like the Rose Bowl or something. Yeah, you know, you get excited, right? Or you ever receive good news, you know, something great's happening, something good, you know, is happening. Or maybe if you're in college, you passed a test that you were worried whether you'd pass or not. As a matter of fact, as I was looking up exciting things on the internet, you know, just trying to get some ideas, I came across Disney did this whole advertising campaign where they asked parents and grandparents to film their kids being told right before they were going to go to Disneyland to keep it a secret and then to film them that we're going to Disneyland. And what do these kids do? They're like, what? Sir? No. And they start, yeah, you know, dancing around and like, I'm going to Disneyland. You know, they get all excited and there's this joy that's about them and they begin to sing and they begin to dance and there's something that comes from within. You know, several years ago, we used to do this talent show in Newburgh, the Christmas Extravaganza. And several years ago, I wrote a song for my kids, and I sang it to them in this talent show. I used to MC the talent show, and at the very end, I did this rap for my kids. And the thing was, is at this age, I think Emma was like one or two, and Toby was, you know, three or four, and I was excited about just this song for my kids. I'm going to give you, I'm not going to rap for you this morning, I'm not going to sing for you this morning, but I will give you the beginning of this song, because before the music came on, before anything, I mean, just had a little backbeat so I could kind of follow along, but before the music kicked in, before anything kicked in, I began with this little rap, chant, whatever you want to call it, but you'll kind of get where I'm going here, and I just start with this. I said, what is it about my kids that when they walk into a place? What is it about my kids that puts a smile on my face? What is it about my kids that when they bust into the scene? What is it about my kids that make me wanna? And I just sing, you know, and I really got into it. I just started going crazy. And there's something about when we love something, when we care about something, that we get excited. And from the inside, this excitement wants to well up. And we want to sing, or we want to tell someone, or we want to talk to someone about it. Anyone know? Am I the only one that gets excited like that? All right. Okay, moving on. I guess we're done for today. No, you get excited. And we have this desire just to sing. And I think that is what this verse is referring to. That when we're filled with the Spirit, there's this excitement about God that makes us want to share it, that makes us want to sing it, that makes us want to talk to others, that makes us want to praise Him and worship Him. And that kind of excitement can only come from the Holy Spirit, and it works on us from the inside. It goes on in verse 20 as it continues with some of the evidence. It says, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And so not only do we want to just share and talk about it and this excitement that wells up from us, another evidence of being filled with the Spirit is there's this thankful heart. That we are so thankful for what God's done for us, how He's changed our life. You see, we have so much to be thankful for, but a lot of people never take time to thank the Lord, to praise Him. But when we walk in the light and we're filled with His Spirit, it opens our eyes and enables us to see at a deeper level what God has done for us, how He's changed us, how He's brought us out of the miry clay to a place of His blessing and glory. You know, I shared several weeks ago my testimony and how I went from this good Christian kid to this kid that someone said, I can't believe you were ever a Christian. But how the Lord has brought me back to a place. And so when I look back at how far I fell from the Lord, I can't help but thank God for what He's done in my life. And it's because of the Spirit alive in me that just makes me want to praise Him, that makes me want to thank Him. And there's many different fruits that will come out. Last week we talked about some of the fruit of the light that happens in our lives. And that's the cool thing, that when we are filled with the Spirit, that the fruit of God begins to come out of our lives. And people begin to see it. You know, there's evidence. When we're drunk, there's evidence, right? Usually we're stumbling around and acting like an idiot. But when we're filled with the Spirit, there's evidence, because people look and they're like, what is different about that person? And if there's not evidence in our life, maybe we need to ask, Am I being filled with the Spirit? Have I been asking God to fill me? Have I been giving God access to my life? Because that's part of the problem is, we talk about we hold on to those compartments. But if we really want to experience the complete fruit of God in our lives, we need to say, Lord, fill me, every bit of me, from head to toe, all of it, I give to you. About 4 weeks ago, I did a illustration, and I said, okay, give me some, you know, leeway here, because I'm a youth pastor, and I like to use illustrations, and I like to do things, and so just, you know, bear with me here. And afterwards, I had so many people say, dude, you got to do those more often. That was awesome. I remembered, and it just made me realize, and I thought, oh, okay, I'll have to work on that. So today, I've got an illustration for you. Because we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do I translate it into a way that kind of speaks into my life? So, we've got some great components here. We've got milk right here. Got milk? I do this morning, all right? This is what this represents. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because there's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the outpour of the filling of the Holy Spirit. This picture represents us and our life. This milk is just us. It's the aspects and areas of our life. How I talked about our desire to give everything to the Lord. This is everything right here. This is the aspect of our life. And when we ask Jesus into our heart, when we say for the first time, Lord, I need a Savior. I need you to come into my life. He immediately comes in. That's something that God does. When we say yes to Him, He comes into our lives. The Hershey's chocolate syrup represents the Holy Spirit, okay? Coming into our lives, okay? It's a good thing, right? Yeah, it's good. All right, so this is the Holy Spirit. When we ask Him into our life, He comes. And He's in us. And He's a part of us. But a lot of times, this is where we leave it. We've asked a man, and he's in, he's there, he's in there. But he's at the bottom, and he hasn't been given full access to all of us. And you see, when we ask the Lord, fill us, when we give everything to Him, I've heard it said it's like a stirring of the gifts that happens in our life. The Holy Spirit's there, He's in us. When we say yes to Him, He's here. And a lot of times He's just saying, okay, give me the word, Darren. Give me the word so I can come and I can fill your life with me, with the gifts that I have for you. And it takes us being willing to say, okay, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And as we ask Him to fill us with our Spirit, it then allows the Lord to stir up the Spirit in our lives. And as we stir up the Spirit in our lives, we begin to see that now there's not this separation other than the chocolate that's sticking to the bottom, you know. It's the reserve for later. No. But as we begin to see, as we allow the gifts to be poured in our life, now it's all of us. It's not just, He's not just sitting in there down at the bottom. Okay, I've invited you into my life, but that's it. No, now we've given Him access to be fully a part of who we are, to be who He's called us to be. And you see, those gifts come in all different ways. And I'm just going to say this. I'm going to throw this out this morning. You know, we get freaked out when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are a four-square church, which means this. Some of you may not know what does four-square mean. We're at a four-square church, which means based off of a four-square gospel years ago by our founder, Amy Simple McPherson, four things that Jesus is that we believe. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the one that fills us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our healer, and Jesus Christ is our soon and coming King. That's what the four squares. Matter of fact, next week you're going to see some of those squares up on the wall. Hopefully next week we'll get it here up on the wall. But we are a four square. But we believe that the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. We believe that He pours out His Spirit upon us and He stirs up these gifts. And the thing is the gifts are different for everyone. And here's what I believe. Now some people go, oh, but this is what I believe. Certain gifts are for certain times, and you may have a gift in one moment, and you may never use that gift again. But God knew that you needed it for that moment, and as you said, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, He gives you what you need for that moment in time. Because like I've said before, Christ in us makes us the hope of glory. It says that in His Word, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so that means that whatever we need for that moment that we have stepped out into where God's called us to step out, He will give us what we need if we've asked Him to fill us with His Spirit. And He'll give us the gifts. And there's many different gifts, and I'm not going to get into that today. But God will give us what you need. And for certain times and certain situations, He will pour out His Spirit upon you. But if we're not stirring up those gifts, if we're not giving Him full access, those gifts aren't going to be readily available to us in those times of need. We need to be filled with His Spirit. So often we fill our lives with so many other things, and we need Him to be what fills us. We need Him to have every area of our life filled with, so that we can be who He's called us to be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. We're going to finish with a worship song this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning, and Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your heart and desire to have a relationship with us. Though we fail time and time again, You never give up on us, Lord. That is why You died on the cross, that we can experience Your grace and forgiveness in Your life. And as we experience that grace, Lord, You come into our life and You fill us up. But Lord, You want more. You want to fill us each and every day with the gifts of Your Spirit. And so, Lord, I just pray that You teach us how to be people who are truly filled with Your Spirit, who every day seek You and ask that You would come and fill us with more and more of You. Less of the things of this world and more of the things of our Savior. Lord, that is our desire. Thank You, Lord, for this morning. Lord, help us to take a good look at each of our lives and to ask ourselves, am I seeing the evidence? Am I seeing the fruit of God in my life? Because if not, that must mean that there are some areas that I haven't fully given to You. Lord, reveal those areas to us. Show us, Lord, how to live our lives filled with Your Spirit, full of Your Spirit, Lord, that we may be lights that shine bright to this world, that we may be the hope of glory. Thank You, Lord, for this time. May Your Word fall and speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. We're all on this journey of life, and we're all at different places along that journey. So come and meet us. Come and speak to us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.